Hear me? Yeah. All right. Well, what a blessing to look out there and see so many people that want to come here today and share with their spiritual family. And it's just a blessing also to get to share with you today myself. And I wasn't going to tell anybody this, but Brandon let the cat out of the bag. I'm Bob Walmsley. I didn't want to tell you my name today, just in case. My wife, Margaret, and I have found a family, a home right here at Mount Helena Community Church for 7+ years, and we've been extremely blessed and love serving here. Today, if you've been following us, it marks the final chapter of a book that we've been going through and pairing it with the scriptures, and we've been going through it with our Sunday messages and then our small groups having discussions on it, and it's our final chapter today, chapter 8, how does the kingdom impact my family? How does that kingdom of God impact my family? And I don't know about you, but what the last 7 weeks, actually the last 9 weeks, have you enjoyed the Sunday messages, the discussions in your small group? I mean, ours has been an amazing, we have an amazing group, and it's just been a joy. So this morning we're going to touch on three things. We're going to touch on family, our home life, and the kingdom, God's kingdom. I want to quickly remind you, we've talked about kingdom every week, but I want to kind of remind you again what kingdom is, if you don't mind, if you'll humor me a minute. It's a central concept, right, in Christianity, referring to God's reign and authority, both in the hearts of believers and in the world, especially in this building, in our homes. A spiritual realm where God's will is recognized and followed as a way of living that aligns with the teachings of Christ. Does that sound good? As Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. We can dwell in that kingdom, right? I also wanted to just touch a little bit on the word here. I mean, we'll touch a lot on the word, but what the word says about family. I'm reminded that this wonderful book here defines the story of our God, does it not? His nature, characteristics, his personality, a story of love, grace, mercy, sometimes anger, yet perfect righteousness. But also tells our story. I don't know if you ever looked at it like that, but it tells our story. Beginning in Genesis 1, with a loving father creating a home for his children, his creation, all of us. The story continues with him loving and correcting and forgiving his children, showing them grace and love and guiding them for the purpose of which he's called us, eternity in his kingdom, in his presence. Then we go into the new covenant. And as we go into the new covenant here, we'll just call it the middle of the book. It begins with him sending his only begotten son to sacrifice for our sins. The ultimate grace and mercy, right? Without of which we're incapable of his presence and our position in his kingdom. And right there in that, where that starts, in John 1:12, it says, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. All of us, children of God, right? And in those closing chapters, we get to the closing chapters right here. And he has prepared a new earth and a new Jerusalem for his family. In fact, it says in Revelation 21:7, those who are victorious will inherit this kingdom, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. From cover to cover, it tells our God's story, but it also tells ours. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, I give you praise and glory, Lord. I just humbly come before you today, Father God. I ask that there be no Bob today, there be no words of my flesh, Lord God, but that your spirit would speak your word, Father, that you would open all of our hearts, mine included, and your spirit would minister to us today. We give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. So God's always been about family, right? Fathers, mothers, his children, our children, his son, We see that example all throughout the scripture. He's always been about all of us, his spiritual family, the family of God. And we're all blessed, right, to have our biological families. So blessed, right? Our children, our siblings, our parents, our grandchildren. But we're also blessed to have the family of God, and God provided that for us, that family, that spiritual family, and it extends far beyond these walls for all of us. And there's much emphasis in his word about family. He creates man and woman for each other. In Genesis, it says that he created both male and females, and he told them to be fruitful and multiply to further his kingdom. And of course, I love this verse, Jeremiah 29:6 says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters, or your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase the number there, do not decrease. Marry and have kids. God was saying that. Marry and have kids who marry and have kids who marry and have kids. We're building a kingdom with our Father. Even in their current situation, he was telling them, be fruitful. And the Word of God is full of commands too, right? This tells us about a good marriage. It tells us how to raise children. It tells us how to live life. Everything you need to know is right here. And I don't want to offend any of you in here if you're a therapist, because we have a need for therapists, especially Christian therapists. But I don't need a license to have a good marriage. I don't need a license to raise my children. I don't need a license to tell me how to walk towards Christ, to try to be righteous, to lean into him every day. I have it right here. I have the Word of God and his Holy Spirit to take me through all that. That's my degree. That being said, family is our first circle. Now we're going to get into the unshakable book. Our family is our first circle of love, support, and growth, where we instantly learn about true love and unity. But there's so much more to it when it's wrapped, when our family is wrapped in the kingdom. Man, there's so much more to it. It's where we belong. Being part of family is one of the greatest blessings God ever bestowed upon believers. And leading a family is also a tremendous blessing. But I want to say it's not just about, as a leader of a family, it's not just about providing clothing for your children and providing food for them and a shelter. It's about providing an example of a true and living relationship with Jesus Christ. Not an awareness, not a knowledge that he exists, but a grounded, loving relationship. And I'm going to be honest, it's the greatest gift we can ever give our children, is to tell them about Christ and to be an example for them. As a man of God, actually any parent for that matter, family is our first shepherded ministry. It's our first flock that God has handed us. That's where the kingdom should start. First in your heart, then at home. It's where we're best known. It's where opinions matter the most. And God has presented you with a flock to shepherd for him. He's trusted you with that, to lead it. Our children must see our lives reflect God in our home. If you say you believe, then you reflect to your children that you believe. If you say you have faith, you have to walk in faith. And if you hold them to the Word of God, you best be in the Word yourself. If not, you're telling your kids, as well as those watching, that your Christ isn't real. And he is real. And that's not the message we want to send. Your children will reflect many of your choices, and they will reflect what Christ you reveal to them. They'll reflect that. We'll talk about that a little later on, but our lives also reflect much of what we experience. Our outside home life, sometimes it can be fantastic. It can actually be amazing, and you're well-liked at work. You have this amazing career. You're well known at the gym, like my buddy Roger and Johnny. Life can be great. Your hobbies, hanging out with your friends. Things could be different at home. Your home life can be poor. Or it's possible maybe even though your home life is poor, outside the home might be your escape. We have that backwards. Our home life should be our refuge. Our home life should be where we experience kingdom. But if you have that, if you have a bad home life, I'm here to tell you that a poor spousal relationship can create stress and anxiety to the point it creates health issues. And the same with your children. If you're having a poor relationship with your children, it can create stress issues, health issues. It'll affect your health. It'll affect your other relationships. Also, the pains and sorrows of raising a child. You know, we feel those pains, kids. And as you're getting older and having your kids, you're going, oh, wow, my dad felt my pain. I didn't realize it. I'm feeling my kid's pain now. You know, when your kid's little and there's a bully and they're picking on your kid, it hurts, right? And you want to go and approach the bully and go, come on, you want some of this? I know you're only six, but let's do it. And I'm just teasing with you. I would never do that. But it makes you mad. You're angry. And when they're sad and they're broken, you cry. And you want to bail them out all the time, even when they're 35, 36, 37, 50. You want to bail them out all the time, and you can't because they don't learn that way. And you got to pray for them, and they got to live their life. But the beauty of that is when things are going great and they're happy, you're praising God, right? You have moments where you pray for your kids every day, but you have moments where tears of joy fill your eyes that they're so blessed. There also could be illnesses in your family or the loss of a loved one, especially one that didn't know Christ, and that can shake you. That can shake you up. All these things can shake us, but an unshakable kingdom stands us strong and gets us through that. We need kingdom in our homes. God wants us to understand his kingdom as a family. He used family as the fundamental building block of humanity. He related as father to his son. Although he is creator, judge, and Lord, he refers to us as his children and himself as our father. He created woman and man and told them to become fruitful and multiply, and build families. Families that build his kingdom. And you remember in Genesis, he said, I chose Abraham so that he would direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. God chose Abraham to focus on his plan and to build his kingdom. So what prevents the kingdom in our homes? Relying on world opinions of family rather than God's family plan found here in his word. See, we often hear, everybody's on social media, as I hear it all the time, a quarter of a century almost in law enforcement. And I look at people all the time that have never worn a badge and a gun and chased a murder suspect into a house. And yet there they are on social media telling you what cops have to do. I always loved the one when I was undercover. Are you a cop? I had hair down to here and this full beard, and I go, no. They go, because if you are, it's the law, you have to tell me. And I'd giggle inside my head and go, where did that come from? I'm undercover buying drugs, and I have to tell you I'm undercover buying drugs? Never understood that one, but there's so many people out there that tell you how to build your family, you know, how it's done. They're therapists. They got their therapist, their online degree. And then there's the enemy, the father of lies, right? Man, you better believe this, that he does not want kingdom in your family. He does not want your relationship with your spouse to be good. See, because when you have kingdom in your family and your relationship with your spouse is good and your relationship with your children is good, you are doing God's work. You are a kingdom within a kingdom. Remember he said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. So see, in that house, in that kingdom, there are many kingdoms, and we're a part of that. And if he can attack your marriage and put a foothold in it, or your relationship with your children, that's all he has to do. He robs you of those fruits. Those fruits as a family you could be sharing, as a father and a mother that you could be sharing. Then he helps you move that struggle everywhere else. He encourages that. You're grumpy today. You're mad. Things are bad with your wife. Things are bad with your kids. Go chew your friends out. Go be rude and obnoxious at work. And pretty soon you're focused on those issues and not the kingdom. You're just going through the motions. Recognizing that we're a part of the kingdom and bringing that into your home today and every day is so important. Then there's cultural misguidance. I kind of flipped that word a little bit from the Unshakable book. Cultural misguidance, social media, secular music, television. It's polluted with AI and with lies and with advertisements and with fools. And I want you, you're going to laugh at me, some of you today. I'm not a techie. That's not what you're going to laugh about. If you know me, that's pretty obvious. But you're going to laugh at me. But I want you to write down March 29th, 2026. Bob Walmsley said that AI will be nothing but the devil's tool in the future. It's going to destroy so many lives, it's pathetic. It's going to be used for evil. I'm not saying never use social media. You know, there's some great Christian stuff sometimes that you're reading, and sometimes you get on there to follow. I'm not saying never use that, never watch a movie, never watch a TV series. I'm saying guard your heart and look at what you watch. More importantly, guard your heart and look what you're revealing to your children. Listen to what music they like to listen to. Because see, the enemy just kind of sneaks a foot in there and poisons the water. And it's so subtle, often you don't know it's coming. The world cultural view from outside the kingdom tells us, do what makes you happy. Follow your heart. Live your truth. Don't let anyone tell you who to love. And I did hear this a few weeks ago, and I'm not going to be perfect on the quote. But a person said, a loving God would never stop one man from wanting to love another, or a woman to love a woman. And I'm talking about in the way that man and wife love each other. And I'm here to tell you right now, today, understand, God never said any of what I just told you. He never said follow your heart. He never said live your own truth. Love whoever you want to do, or whoever you want to. And I have the coolest quote for you guys today. And I'm going to tell you what, God dropped this in my lap this week. He dropped it in my lap this week. And I am just so, thank you, Lord. I'm just so thankful for this. And I want to read it to you. And I think it's going to be on the board. But let me read it. It's by J.C. Ryle. He was a pastor and a writer in the late 1800s. Isn't that cool? Long time ago. But man, is this true or what? Beware of manufacturing a God of your own, a God who is all mercy but not just, a God who is all love but not holy, a God who has a heaven for everybody but a hell for none, a God who can allow good and bad to be side by side in time but will make no distinction between them in eternity. Such a God is an idol of your own. The hands of your own sentimentality have made him. He is not the God of the Bible. And beside of the God of the Bible, there is no God at all. Thank you, God. He dropped that in my lap a few days ago. And I was like, and it's his fault if this goes a little long today. That's not mine. But those things I mentioned, you know, live your truth. Follow your heart. Those things that God never said. And you've heard many of them. Money's the root of all evil. No, the love of money's the root of all evil. But we have a way of changing the word to meet us instead of changing us to meet the word, to meet God. And when parents allow those things in their lives, they live those things and they allow it in their children's lives, it's not going to end well. That's not the Christ we want to reveal to our children. And of course, God isn't anti-happiness, right? He just doesn't want your happiness found in idolatry and politics and addiction and social media. He loves you. He doesn't want you harmed. He wants your identity found. He wants you with him growing the kingdom. That's where he wants you to find your happiness. And this is why we can't wait for our family to be absorbed into the world and the ways of the world. This is why we have to lead and surrender our family to be absorbed by the kingdom. To have kingdom in our home, we must recognize God is the head of our homes, right? The head of our heart, the head of our homes. Christ must be present in our homes. Our relationship with him must always come first. A lot of times when you first get married, no, I got to put her first. And she thinks that, but it's not true. Come on, lighten up. It's that relationship with Jesus that comes first. And I'm here to tell you that when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the others fall in line. The others will fall in line. They'll build into that. Prayer must be taught and used in your homes, and well-rounded worship has to be in your homes. That actually has to be a way of life. See, we think of worship as just singing, like we just did. But that word worship, being prone before God, always praying, always giving God the glory, and your children see that, and your spouses see that, always singing, always reading the word, well-rounded worship. Reading the word daily feeds us. That is great when you're a family that reads the word, and you don't always have time for that. But for your kids to know, my parents read God's word every day. That's where they get knowledge and the wisdom to share it. Christian values must be taught. Real life examples shared. Mom and dad, husband and wife, must live out those real examples of being Christ-centered. First and foremost, you don't wait to love, honor, and respect your spouse. And we have that issue a lot, especially for new Christians. We set by going, well, God says to love, honor, and respect, but I'm going to wait her out because she's not doing it. Or I'm going to wait him out because he's not doing it. That's not an obedient response to God. That's sin. It's not your job to wait it out. It's your job to obey God and let God work on your spouse. Because love's not a feeling, it's a decision. Ephesians 5, 22 and 23 says, wives, submit. Anybody cringing? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body of which he is the Savior. Honey, can you come up here a minute? I have my own personal Vanna White. I want to, if you're struggling with the word submit, I want to fix it for you today perfectly. I'm going to fix this for you, okay? That word submit comes from the Greek word hupotasso, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. And see, great leaders, we have in corporate and the military and in law enforcement, you have great leaders and you have managers. There are no great managers. There might be some okay ones. But there are great leaders. And what do great leaders do? Great leaders recognize that I need to delegate authority, and then I need to move the obstacles out of the way so that those I delegated can reach the needs of the organization. See, and leadership like that trickles down into the family. That's the way God designed it. See, when you have a great leader, the troops want to follow them. They don't look at it as submitting. They look at it as deploy yourself in support of your commander. And that's what submitting to your husband means. Deploy yourself in support of your husband. To love him, to pray for him, to encourage him. And then remember the rib in Genesis, right, where God puts Adam into a deep sleep, and he removes that rib, and he creates a helper fit for him. That's what it says. Not he created a slave or a bondservant. He created a helper fit for him. That word for rib, it's Selah. It's T-S-E-L-A. I'm probably not pronouncing it. I don't have that voice, but it's Selah. What does it mean? It's also mean to side and chamber. Not just rib, but side and chamber. And I want to point out for you, I'm going to fix this submission thing for all of us right now. Woman was not taken from a bone in man's foot to where he stands on her and he walks on her and he forces her to submit. She wasn't taken from a bone in his back where she walks behind him like a second-rate citizen. She came from Selah. She came from that side chamber where she fits perfect, where he kind of lightly can lean into her and lean on her, and she feels that comfort and that protection. And the two of them walk side by side in the kingdom, side by side in their homes, side by side in their life, submitting to one another and loving one another. Thank you, honey. Margaret. I don't have to tell you who the better half is. But you notice she fit right there. And remember, I told you in Genesis, God says where she fits. Supporting him, supporting one another. Now, dads, I'm not letting you off the hook. You are called to be the head of the household, but man, there's a powerful calling on you. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, husbands, love your wife. Now notice it doesn't say feel love for your wife, romance her all the time. It says love your wife. Love is not a feeling, it's a decision. It sometimes is a feeling, but overall, it's a decision. All the time, every day, 24-7, 365. Love your wife just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word. And then in 28, same chapter, to love their wives as their own bodies. Remembering that loving your wife, guys, is faithful obedience to God. You don't have a choice. And I'll tell you something. When you step out and love intentionally, then it becomes a feeling, and you'll fall in love. Love is action. Waiting for the other to love first lacks obedience. And it'll lead to a cold stalemate in your home. Or through obedience, you can watch God enrich your marriage. A marriage that bears fruit. It's your choice, a God-blessed covenant or a self-indulging convenience. And our ministry is not always in what we say with each other and with our children. It's how we live our lives. That's what ministers, action, right? And I want to say this. I want to throw this in the middle here. Dysfunctional marriages begat dysfunctional marriages. I want you to think about your children for a second, because when your home is not in the kingdom, when you're not displaying a relationship with Jesus Christ, when things are wrong between you and your bride, when things are crumbling, and you're waiting on her to love you first as God told her to love her as she would love Christ, when you're waiting on all of that, that dysfunctionality is setting in. And I saw it for almost a quarter of a century in law enforcement. I watched guys treat their wives horribly because that's what they learned from dad. I watched daughters be abused because, well, it was my fault. And that's how dad used to handle mom when she stepped out of line. And it doesn't even have to be abuse. It can just be the words that you say to each other, the way you ignore one another, the way you don't pray together, the way you don't build kingdom together. But that dysfunctionality, dysfunctional marriages begat dysfunctional marriages. And that's true in front of your children. It's something to think about as your kids are growing up. Words complement the situation. You can say everything you want. They complement the situation. But actions define it. The greatness of your marriage is a byproduct of your relationship with God, is it not? So set the stage for your children. Choose spiritually functional, not worldly dysfunctional. Use God's word to create standards, expectations, demonstrate the fruits. Use his word to move from pleasing the world or yourself and pleasing the Father, you and your family. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, some versions say they'll return to it, or some versions say they will never leave it. But there's truth in that. We train our children to walk with Christ, and then we trust in that. And I love this verse in Deuteronomy 6:6-7. God told the people, commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and walking on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. He's telling us, tell your children 24/7 everything you do. Be that example. In Psalm 145:4, one generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. That's not a 65-year-old talking to a 45-year-old and teaching them who teaches a 25-year-old, who teaches a 15-year-old. That can happen. That's us commending the works of God to our children and telling of his mighty acts. We're all called, folks, to build strong marriages centered on Christ. We're expected to raise our children in that matter, as men and women of God, to raise children centered on a walk with Christ. Kingdom at home. Kingdom at home is the best breeding ground for discipleship. That's the first people we disciple, is our children, usually. And remember your family in Christ here also. We're not alone. That's the cool thing. Your spiritual family is a built-in support system. Right here, and God did that. God did this. Here our family values are confirmed. There's biblical counsel. There's help. There's grace, love, and mercy. But there's help here. We have women's ministry, men's ministry, children's ministry. We have powerful prayer warriors and counselors here. The spiritual family is amazing. Not to mention God's Father's heart is expressed through our spiritual family. We get to come here and see like-minded people walking with Christ. Our values are our examples and stuff. Everything we tell our kids are confirmed here. Our kids come in here and they go, wow, other kids love Christ too. Other kids walk and live in a Christian family. We see examples of others desiring to live a life for Christ. And did you know God's love is completed through us? 1 John chapter 4. The love that God gives us, when we give it away to others, his love is complete. It says that. We don't hold on to it. We give it away to each other. And that's what makes his love complete. In closing, I'm really not closing, but I thought if I'd say that, you'd relax. But no, I'm teasing. In closing, I want to encourage all of us. Take a look. Take an honest look at our family, our home life. Are you and your wife united and Christ-centered? Are you living a life that reflects God the Father, Jesus the Son, setting examples for your children? Is the kingdom present in your home and your heart? Do you and your family honor God? And are you and your family committed to the extended family I just spoke of? We started the Unshakable series with a focus on Hebrews 12:28. I think we heard that verse probably every Sunday. But today I decided not to tell you it till the end. We're going to close with it. Now the verses preceding that tell us about those things that are shakable. Created things, temporary things, things of the world, made things. They can be shaken. They can all be shaken. Just shut my own message off. Go to the end, though. That'll be easy. There we go. Thank you, Lord. So Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So everything else can be shaken, but not the kingdom. It's an unshakable kingdom. We can be shaken. Our families can be shaken. Our careers can be shaken. The world right now is shaken. You look at the division and amongst here in this country and wars and the garbage that's being spewed. We're shaken. But take joy in the fact, stand firm that we can't, the kingdom can't be shaken. And I love the example that Scott gave a few weeks ago where he talked about when there's an earthquake in California, the newer buildings are built on rollers. And when there's an earthquake, the highways and the shacks may collapse, but those buildings, they just move with the earthquake on the rollers. It's like I'm doing a slow dance right now, huh? But they move with those rollers. And see, we have kingdom. We're on rollers. The kingdom can't be shaken. And it gets us through that. Today it may seem, I hope it didn't, it may seem that I talked at you. And if it seemed that way, I apologize. I wanted it to feel as I shared with you. Trust me when I say I was speaking to myself, my family, as well as you and your family. The Unshakable series has highlighted for all of us the greatest emphasis of the Bible. That's the kingdom of God, right? A relationship with Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And as J.R. has said so many times, a kingdom already, but not yet. A kingdom here in part, there in full. But here in part for us. Unless a man be born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. It's here. It's like you're on a train with Jesus riding into the kingdom. You know, when people first moved to Montana years and years ago, the old frontier and many other states, they would go out and they would find their own kingdom, their own place that was just beautiful, breathtaking. They could raise cattle there maybe. And what'd they do? They went out and they planted a flag. And then they went back in, they paid a fee and it was recorded and they owned that property. And see, that fee is already paid. That fee is already paid. Our Savior paid that price for all of us. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to stay Christ-centered and focused as always, because kingdom starts in your heart. But I want to encourage you for your family and for yourself to homestead that, to step into the kingdom in your home. Plant a flag in your home, that homestead flag. Plant that for your kingdom. Would you stand and pray for me, please? Or pray with me. I could use your prayers, trust me. Almighty God, I just want to praise you and give you glory, Lord. I want to thank you for a morning that so many brothers and sisters, families, your spiritual family, Lord God, would come together, Father. And I just pray as your kingdom is so unshakable that when all of us go through moments in our life and it begins to shake for us, Father God, that we would look to you and we would realize that you have a plan, a perfect plan, and that we are part of that kingdom, and that we would plant our flags every day to be in that kingdom, Lord God, that we would look to you in faith, and we would give you glory. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen.